We'll move on to the next case of the day, number 042576, Nice against Julian Nordic Construction Company and Administrat Incorporated.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Robert Shulman. I represent the plaintiff appellant, Louis Nesse, in this case. This case arises from the granting of summary judgment by the district court on plaintiff's ADA claim, wherein the district court decided that the plaintiff failed to point to any evidence that Nordic, that is the employer, perceived him as impaired in performing a broad class of jobs in various classes. The issue presented for this appeal is whether a plaintiff presents significant evidence that his medical status played a significant role in the employer's decision to fire that individual, combined with evidence that the employer concocted a pretextual justification for the firing, should the determination of whether the employer regarded plaintiff as substantially limited in working be left for a jury to decide. Here, plaintiff is disabled within the meaning of the ADA because his employer regarded him as disabled.
Given other than the fact that the company knew he had epilepsy, is there any other evidence that supports a finding that the company regarded Nesse as disabled?
Well,
other than the fact they knew that he had it.
I think that the conduct of the employer throughout the plaintiff's tenure at this company supports a conclusion that they perceived him as disabled based upon their conduct. Based upon their actions, in the sense that they concocted a justifiable excuse to fire him, that they lied, I think that that is evidence, as the court touched upon in Ross versus Campbell Soup in the Sixth Circuit.
Well, didn't he perform the same type of work as all the other carpenters at the company, and their only issue with him had been slowness?
Well, I don't believe that their issue with him was slowness. I believe that that was a concoction that they raised to create a justifiable excuse for firing him. I think that throughout, from the moment the plaintiff began his work at this company until the employee status change report was completed by this company, no one had ever come to plaintiff and complained about his pace of work being slow. No one ever complained about deficiencies in his work performance. On March 12, 2001, the plaintiff had his pay reduced because other people at the company were complaining about the fact that his pay was higher than theirs. When plaintiff was hired, he was started out at a rate of pay of about $22.50 an hour. Other people in the company began to complain to the employer about the fact that he was making more than them. And on March 12, 2001, his pay was reduced by way of this form, which in my brief is A30. His pay was reduced. Plaintiff's own supervisor, now plaintiff testified in his deposition that his pay was reduced because of complaints of other workers stating that his pay was too high in comparison to theirs. Plaintiff's own supervisor, the employee of the defendant Nordic and their supervisor, states in his deposition that all of the people at his company took issue with how much the plaintiff was making. And it supports the conclusion not only that the plaintiff makes, but the supervisor makes, that that's why his pay was reduced. Then, a year later, that same report, which was his pay was reduced because his pay was too high in comparison to the others, a year later, they go in and they add language to the report stating work pace is not to standard of peers. So the problem that I have with the district court in that they drew their own conclusions from this evidence as opposed to drawing inferences in a light most favorable to the plaintiff, we presented the trial of the district court with direct evidence that this excuse was concocted by the employer to create a justifiable excuse for firing him. Direct evidence. Unlike the case in Moore, unlike the case in Rickety, the two cases relied upon by both the defendant and relied upon by the district court, wherein in both cases the purpose for which those two individuals were fired were specifically articulated work restrictions. In this case, we have an individual that is fired based upon a lie. And the district court was presented with evidence. When the plaintiff was having problems at work, he went to his then and the previous outsourcing company that did all of the work for the company, and he went to them and he got copies of all of his records. When he obtained copies of his records, unbeknownst to Nordic, he received this employee status change report, which had no commentary on it. Then, at the time that he ordered all of his records prior to the litigation, he received the report, and it now contains the language in it that's been added, work pace not to the standard of his peers. The only other evidence in this case wherein work pace not to the standard of his peers, wherein there's an articulated deficiency in this plaintiff's work performance, is another form, which again is altered by the employer. It has whiteout. If you look at my appellant's brief, A34, you see that there is whiteout to the first three lines of the commentary, and then added below that commentary of the whiteout, he needs to complete assigned tasks within the acceptable time frame. So again, the only two pieces of evidence in this case that were presented to the district court concerning deficiencies in the plaintiff's work performance were altered at a later date so as to include language of a justifiable excuse. So the question that I have is, why go in and concoct a justifiable excuse to fire this plaintiff if you did not regard him as disabled? Unlike Moore and unlike Rickety, the two cases relied upon by the district court and relied upon by the defendants, in this case, we actually have a plaintiff, like in Ross versus Campbell Soup with the back memo, we have a plaintiff that comes before the court that is a member of a protected class that presents evidence to the district court stating that my employer went into my employment records and altered my records so as to include language in those records that creates a justifiable excuse for firing me. And the district court, as opposed to considering this evidence and considering it in a light most favorable to the plaintiff and resolving all inferences in the plaintiff's favor, it drew its own conclusions about this evidence and basically dismissed it. The district court, I believe, in lifting language from Moore, said simply because the plaintiff and the employer in this case seems to be less than forthcoming in his basis for why he terminated the plaintiff, I think that it's so much more than that they were less than forthcoming as to their reasons. We presented the court with actual evidence that they lied. And I see that my time is about to end. I will just add that I think that the Sixth District case in Ross versus Campbell Soup is directly on point with this case, and it's directly the type of concerns that court had with the hurdles that the ADA places upon plaintiffs, in the sense that you must present the district court with actual evidence that deals directly with the state of mind and the motive of the employer, which is in all cases out of reach and out of touch for the plaintiff, in more cases than not. In this case, not only we have altered documents, but we have the other defendant administaff, similar to the Ross with the black back memo case, we have actual evidence that administaff, the outsourcing department, sent the employer a memo, which is faxed, and all the faxes have dates on them and they're all in your record, stating to the employer, have you had an opportunity to articulate and document deficiencies in this plaintiff's work performance? And then thereafter, the very documents that were altered are faxed to administaff, faxed back to Nordic, and now have changes to them. And I just feel that this is the smoking gun type evidence that was available to the court in Ross, and I feel that the district court dismissed this evidence and drew its own conclusions from it as opposed to resolving all inferences in favor of the plaintiff. I see that my time is up. If Your Honor has a...
No, thanks. Not right now.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Garcia.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Christopher Garcia on behalf of Julian Construction and Nordic and Administaff. I'd like to begin, Judge Williams, by just stating that NACE's attorney never really answered your question. There is no material or testimonial evidence that either Nordic or Julian regarded this plaintiff, this appellant, as unable to perform a broad range of jobs in various classes. None. And the reason for that is fairly simple. NACE never thought of a regarded as theory until he faced summary judgment. The entire underlying claim was predicated on the allegation and the claim of disability discrimination based upon an actual disability, in this case, seizure disorder. Now, it is a part of the record that NACE and all of the other carpenters were warned to pick up the pace. Eventually, it never worked out. It's also part of the record that Julian terminated all those positions. The company could not remain viable. So it's simply not true that he was never warned. In fact, and the second amended...
The record shows that... What? You said terminated the positions. You mean terminate the other individuals?
All of the carpenter positions were eventually terminated. That is part of the record. That is
the
part of
the individuals occupying the positions.
Those positions were terminated. I'll answer your question. Most of the carpenters were terminated. I believe one or two were kept and brought in.
The difference between terminating people and abolishing positions. That was what I would want to make sure we weren't playing semantical games with each other.
Okay, I'm not. Let me answer your question directly. All of the positions were terminated, the rough carpenter positions. Two of those carpenters were brought into different positions within the company.
And how many carpenters were there subject to this?
There were five rough carpenters, I believe.
How many were disciplined beyond the plaintiff in this case? How many other people were, other of those carpenters were disciplined?
I don't believe any of them were for pace. What I'm getting at now is that counsel has just told this court that the plaintiff was never warned to pick up the pace. He testified in his deposition repeatedly that he was. In fact, in his second amended complaint, this appellant tried to associate his lack of keeping up with his coworkers with his disability. He said the reason that he couldn't keep pace with his coworkers was because of his disability, his covered disability of epilepsy. He jettisoned all of that in response to a motion for summary judgment. And he said something fairly remarkable. In his brief, he said that NACE does not have an actual disability pursuant to the ADA as that act defines the term. That's exactly what he says. The case should have been over then. It was over. But he reaches out and he grasps for a regarded as theory.
Well, why shouldn't we adopt the rationale of the Sixth Circuit case that he discussed, that Ross case, and look at the state of mind of the employer to determine whether the employer regarded the employee as disabled, and then look at the altered documents and draw certain inferences favorable to the appellant?
The Ross case is different on a number of different levels. It's inapposite. The plaintiff in Ross had no less than five back injuries. He took months off. You had that memorandum in which the plaintiff's employer refers to Ross by his condition. We need to terminate that back case. There are no such memoranda here. None of those factors are present in the NACE case. I respectfully submit, and again, with all due respect to the Sixth Circuit, the trajectory of that opinion is a little incoherent. The Sixth Circuit seems to suggest that referring to an employee as that back case, defining an employee by a medical condition, may be direct evidence of disability discrimination. If that's the case, there's no sense in going back and discussing McDonnell Douglas. But that's what they do. So the opinion is somewhat incoherent. The only case law relied upon by the appellant is an out-of-circuit decision, Ross, which is completely inapposite. We have no smoking gun memoranda here. Moreover, what is being called pretext now, what is being called a lie, was admitted to by the plaintiff in his pleading, in his second amended complaint, and again throughout his deposition. He admitted that he was slower than all of the other carpenters. The inference this court is being asked to draw, the issue here, is whether or not the plaintiff presented any evidence that Nordic or Administaff regarded him as unable to perform a broad range of jobs in various classes. And I respectfully submit there is no testimonial or material evidence to that. The NACI's appeal here is unlike anything I've ever seen. He specifically asked this court to relieve him of his burden of proof because he wants to argue pretext first. Whether or not the employer violated the ADA is not relevant until the plaintiff can show he's actually subject to the ADA's protections. There is no evidence. He has two problems, and they were demonstrated here before this court. One, NACE confuses a medical condition with a covered disability. This has always been his problem. This is why he lost summary judgment. Two, he wants to argue pretext before he can make his prima facie case. And I submit he still has to do that. In his brief, he says that there was sufficient evidence to imply that Nordic terminated him because of his epilepsy, because of his medical condition. Respectfully, that's not relevant. He has to demonstrate that he was terminated because he was regarded as unable to perform a broad range of jobs in various classes. That standard, that burden, is completely ignored in the brief. It was ignored in oral argument, and he has asked this court not to lessen the burden, but to lift it from him altogether. With respect to Ross, and again, with all respect to the Sixth Circuit, this may be a case where this court can address the problems with Ross. I believe Ross was wrongly decided. The Ross court states that there was evidence that the plaintiff's medical condition factored into the termination. The court has to decide there was evidence that the employer's termination, that that decision to terminate, was based upon the fact that the employer regarded him as unable to perform a broad class of jobs. There was no evidence in Ross, and there's no evidence in this case. Are there any questions?
I gather not. Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you.
Mr. Shulman, you have your time has expired as well, so the case will be taken under advisement. We finish the calendar of the day, therefore the court will rise until 9:30 tomorrow.